Annually, the U.S. celebrates and recognizes the amazing achievements of women throughout history and in the present day. What started as a day turned into a week, and finally, in 1987, gained the designation of an entire month, Women's History Month. This March, we jump into the humble beginnings of this idea and how it grew into an international movement, for better or worse. Let's go! Welcome to Women and the Drinks Biz podcast. I'm your host, Jen Root Martel, and thank you so much for joining me today. If you haven't noticed by now, I'm a bit of a history buff. Okay, a big history buff. It was always my favorite subject in school, and I still love it to this day. So thank you for humoring me on this podcast, as I have used it as an avenue to dig into some of the areas of history that I just didn't know much about. If you have not yet listened and want to know more about cider's storied history in this country, go listen to episodes 30 and 31. And there are some tangential histories along the way as well, from hops to Johnny Appleseed, episodes 55 and 66, respectively. It does seem like every 6 months or so I feel the pull and just can't ignore it. And so here we are, yet again, 6 months later, diving into another March and another Women's History Month. I will still, no doubt, do a post on March 8th for International Women's Day. And as usual, it will be half celebrating the women who are killing it in their fields, though also half bitch session on why we have to have a damn day of recognition instead of just dealing with the epic issues of gender inequality across the country. But I thought it would be interesting to dig into the backstory of why there is a Women's History Month in the first place. As with my other history posts, I will mention at the top that these words are mostly not my own, but I have taken them from many sources to produce the prose that I present to you today. All of the references are accounted for throughout the text and in a reference list in the show notes. I really appreciate the work that was put into writing these histories, especially in this case, and for this topic of honoring women through national and international celebrations. The story actually starts way before a Women's History Month, to when there was just talk of a Women's History Day. Some sources say that a National Women's Day grew out of an event in New York City on March 8, 1857, when female textile workers marched in protest of unfair working conditions and unequal rights for women. It was one of the first organized strikes by working women, during which they called for a shorter workday and just decent wages. Also on March 8, in 1908, women workers in the needles trades marched through New York City's Lower East Side to protest child labor, sweatshop working conditions, and demand women's suffrage. However, researchers have alleged this to be a myth intended to detach International Women's Day from its actual socialist origins. The earliest reported Women's Day event, called aptly National Women's Day, was held on February 28, 1909 in New York City. It was organized by the Socialist Party of America in a similar effort to highlight women's rights and mainly women's suffrage within the party. That specific day in March was highlighted by mass meetings across the United States and was observed until about 1913. Encouraged by German activist Clara Zetkin, the International Socialist Congress agreed in 1910 to create an international version of the U.S. holiday, and on March 19, 1911, the first International Women's Day was held in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland. More than 1 million people attended rallies marking that day. In the ensuing years, the International Women's Day was celebrated in additional countries and on varying dates. On March 8, 1917, women in Petrograd, now St. Petersburg, Russia, marked the day by staging a strike to protest food shortages, poor living conditions, and World War I in general. This strike for bread and peace helped give rise to the Russian Revolution of 1917, which then led to the abdication of Nicholas II on March 15th. Finally, in 1921, the day of International Women's Day was officially changed to March 8th across the world. International Women's Day remained predominantly a communist holiday until roughly 1967, when it was taken up by second-wave feminists. The day reemerged as a day of activism, and is sometimes known in Europe as the Women's International Day of Struggle. In the 1970s and 1980s, women's groups were joined by leftists and labor organizations in calling for equal pay, equal economic opportunity, equal legal rights, reproductive rights, subsidized childcare, and the prevention of violence against women. The United Nations began celebrating International Women's Day in 1975, which had been proclaimed the International Women's Year. The United Nations General Assembly cited the following reasons: to recognize the fact that securing peace and social progress in the full enjoyment of human rights and fundamental freedoms require the active participation, equality, and development of women, and to acknowledge the contribution of women to the strengthening of international peace and security. In 1977, member states were invited to proclaim March 8th as an official UN holiday for women's rights and world peace. It has since been commemorated annually by the UN and much of the world, with each year's observance centered on a particular theme or issue within women's rights. And with that not-so-humble origin, March became the go-to month for celebrating women in history and their contributions. So from one day, it then slowly morphed into something even bigger, a whole week. And what's even funnier is that it has roots in California, of all places. What a small world. The origins of Women's History Week date back to 1978 in Santa Rosa, California, when the Education Task Force of Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women planned a Women's History Week celebration during the week of March 8th to correspond with now very well-entrenched International Women's Day. Led by Molly Murphy McGregor, a local teacher in Santa Rosa, the week-long celebration highlighted women's contributions to American history, culture, and society through presentations at dozens of schools throughout Sonoma County, California. Additionally, hundreds of students participated in an essay contest honoring local women, and the organization hosted a parade in downtown Santa Rosa. Although the 1978 event was not intended to become an annual celebration, the following year, communities across the country organized their own women's history celebrations. In July of the same year, historian Gerda Lerner chaired a 15-day conference on women's history at Sarah Lawrence College, which was co-sponsored by the Women's Action Alliance and the Smithsonian Institution. After the conference, historians and women's activist groups began working together to lobby for a national Women's History Week. In 1980, their goal was realized. In February of that year, President Jimmy Carter issued a presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 2nd through 8th, 1980, as Women's History Week. In his proclamation, Carter noted that men and women have worked together to build the United States since the country's founding. I quote, "From the first settlers who came to our shores, men and women have worked together to build this nation. Too often the women were unsung, and sometimes their contributions went unnoticed. But the achievements, leadership, courage, strength, and love of the women who built America was as vital as that of the men whose names we know so well." Carter also used this moment to call for the passage of Equal Rights Amendment, which has been approved by 38 states, though still remains infuriatingly in legal limbo. The U.S. Congress followed suit the next year, passing a resolution establishing a national celebration. In 1981, Orrin Hatch, a Republican from Utah, and Barbara Mikulski, who was then a representative in the House as a Democrat from Maryland, co-sponsored the first joint congressional resolution. And I will not bore you with the publication name. I will put it in the show notes. And I do have to quote this, so just bear with me, because I do think it's very well written and puts everything in just a very nice context. Barbara probably wrote it. "Whereas American women have played and continue to play a critical economic, cultural, and social role in every sphere of our nation's life by constituting a significant portion of labor force working in and outside of the home. Whereas American women have played a unique role throughout our history by providing the majority of the nation's volunteer labor force and have been particularly important in the establishment of early charitable, philanthropic, and cultural institutions in the country. Whereas American women of every race, class, and ethnic background have served as leaders in the forefront of every major progressive social change movement, not only to secure their own right of suffrage and equal opportunity, but also in the abolitionist movement, the emancipation movement, the industrial labor union movement, and the modern civil rights movement. And whereas, despite these contributions, the role of American women in history has been consistently overlooked and undervalued in the body of American history. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States that the week beginning March 7, 1982 is designated as Women's History Week. Congress approved the resolution on August 4, 1981, and requested that President Ronald Reagan issue a proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to observe Women's History Week with appropriate ceremonies and activities. Throughout the next several years, Congress repeatedly passed joint resolutions designating a week in March as Women's History Week, prompting schools and women's organizations across the country to host their own celebrations and commemorations. As word spread rapidly across the nation, state departments of education encouraged celebrations of Women's History Week as an effective means of achieving equity goals within classrooms. Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, Oregon, Alaska, and other states developed and distributed curriculum materials for all of their public schools. Organizations sponsored essay contests and other special programs in their local areas. Within a few years, thousands of schools and communities were celebrating National Women's History Week, supported and encouraged by resolutions from governors, city councils, school boards, and of course, the U.S. Congress. Each year, the dates changed, and every year a new lobbying effort was needed. Yearly, a national effort that included thousands of individuals and hundreds of educational women's organizations had to lobby again and again to make this a reality. It wasn't until 7 years after the first National Women's History Week that Congress finally passed a law proclaiming the entire month of March as Women's History Month across the U.S. In 1987, after being petitioned by the National Women's History Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to honoring and preserving women's history, Congress passed a number that I will put in the show notes because it's long and I won't bore you, which proclaimed March 1987 as Women's History Month. Since 1988, Congress and the President have annually issued resolutions and proclamations declaring March as Women's History Month. According to the National Women's History Project, these proclamations celebrate the contributions women have made to the United States and recognize the specific achievements women have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. The National Women's History Alliance designates a yearly theme for Women's History Month. The 2024 theme celebrates women who advocate for equity, diversity, and inclusion. This theme recognizes women who understand the need to eliminate bias and discrimination from individuals' lives and institutions. So there you have it, in case you were ever wondering. And fun fact, to run parallel with this history, the creation of Black History Month in February was set in stone in 1976, more than a decade before women's recognition.
Hi, it's me. Pardon the brief interruption, but I wanted to quickly thank you so much for listening and supporting this podcast. I have a quick favor to ask of you. If you are enjoying this episode and the show as a whole, I would so appreciate it if you could recommend this podcast to someone else, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a woman in the alcohol industry, small business owner, a stranger on the street who seems nice, anyone who you think might benefit. It would help so much to grow the show and spread the inspiration and enthusiasm of these amazing people. Okay, that's all. Now back to the show.
And I still feel like a celebration of this sort is twofold, like I mentioned at the top. And Paulette and I even talked a little about this in the last episode. It is so important to recognize those women who have been doing amazing things. Absolutely, hands down, no conflict. Putting time aside to highlight the history of how women have shaped and continue to shape this country is critical to keeping the momentum moving toward equity. And it would be too easy to not talk about these things if we weren't forced to. Let's be honest, not enough people would talk about it if it wasn't forced. We have to have the conversation shoved in our faces because there's too much noise, too much content, and too many other things that would otherwise drown it out. We have to have the History Month specific programming on our streaming channels for people to see run across their screens while they're scrolling through movies. We have to have this in front of us. And for that, I am grateful that women over the decades have put in the time to make it happen and pushed hard enough and been loud enough to at least win the right to be recognized officially every 12 months. And for those politicians and corporations who use this month to give lip service to the cause and then generally ignore it for the other 11 months of the year, I have very choice words for you that I will not bother to repeat here, but you need to do better. As a woman, every day is International Women's Day, and every month is Women's History Month. Because every day and every month, we have to carry the flag of those who came before us and have to keep fighting. Fighting because there is no question that there is gender and racial equity in this country. There is not. I feel every major crisis, domestically or overseas, shows the true divisions among Americans and the amount of work that still needs to be done. And when we attended marches around the world in 2017, we showed the strength of our community and the importance of women's issues with the Walk for Women's Lives. Yes, it was a wonderful day of unity and sisterhood and recognition, but it was marred too regularly by the ghosts of the past. Where I was in San Francisco, the incredible Gloria Steinem, among other early advocates for women's rights, had to make yet another speech in front of another massive group of women. Another call to action. Another show of not-so-quiet protest that things are not okay. And all of the signs. The "I can't believe I'm still protesting this shit" sign, especially from the elderly woman in the wheelchair, who was still able to make it to the march with her granddaughter. And the "If you think I'm mad, you should see my mom" sign. That is a personal favorite and resonates with me greatly. The fact that even though our forebears have been protesting for better conditions and equity since before 1857, and we've had this damn month officially since 1987, we're still protesting. We're still fighting. Because we have to. And the theme for 2024 hits particularly close to home since it focuses on diversity, equality, and inclusion. Something the alcohol industry is struggling with on a daily basis, despite an amazing amount of protest, an amazing amount of testimony put forth, an amazing amount of action being done. And it's a topic that we talk about, as you know, a lot on this podcast. So may this month of Women's History Month spark some great conversations and galvanize some more into action. Here's hoping. And for those wonderful women in my life, happy Women's History Month. Happy International Women's Day. You are seen, you are heard, and you are loved. And thank you for all that you do.
And that's a wrap. Thank you to Tony Stuck for the awesome intro outro music, and to Marianne King for the amazing new pod art that you see for every episode. Any and all references can be found listed and linked in the show notes. I feel like this journey is going to just keep going, and I can't wait to bring you along. We are part of an amazing village, and I hope that you who are listening are getting some inspiration and education out of it. But in order to grow this podcast and make sure others are able to learn from it, I need your help. I would so appreciate it if you could go out and recommend this podcast to one other person. A family member, a nice-looking person on the street, a not-so-nice-looking person on the street, a fellow woman in the alcohol industry busting their butts every day to keep that beverage in the glass. The power of word of mouth is invaluable, and I can't thank you enough for the help. For more information about me and this podcast, visit us online at drinksbizwoman.com. For updates and episodes, highlights of good beverages, and sometimes breaking news in the alcohol industry, follow the podcast Drinks Biz Women on Instagram and Facebook. Talk to you soon, and thank you so much for joining me today.